Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former D lineman, our 95.7 The Game Niner analyst, Ian Williams, appearing on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad, helping you make smarter calls. Ian, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Damon, what's good, man? Hey, Ray, who are you over here laying into now talking about Antonio Brown? What you talking about now, man?
All I'm saying is there will be a time during the season, and I'm only backing up Bruce's play here. There will be a time during the season when Carr doesn't hit him in stride or doesn't hit him when he's open, and he will go to Gruden and complain about it.
I mean, of course. I mean,
okay, so that's all I said. I didn't call him a communist. I didn't say that he, you know, has stolen, you know, school buses in his prior life. I merely said, as a wide receiver, he will complain if he doesn't get the ball enough times and in enough good spots.
All right. I got you on that. I feel it.
Ian,
not a hard one, I grant you.
Ian, I'm happy to have you on today because so much talk about training camp for the Niners is going to be about this defensive line. And obviously, when you showed up to camp all those years ago for your very first camp, you were not the second overall pick of the draft. You were not the last pick of the draft. You were an undrafted player. Before we get into Bosa and what defensive linemen need to learn early, what's it like to be the undrafted guy on the field or in the room with the other drafted rookies? Is it instantly embraced as, hey, we're all part of the rookie class? Or is there a us and them feeling between the drafted and undrafted?
You're not part of that draft class until you actually make that team. And it's usually pretty much every year all the way until I've seen, you know, fifth or sixth round draft picks end up getting released their first season. So it happens. But I feel like the mentality for undrafted players is to come in and be focused on what he needs to do and not try to, you know, you're not in there to make any friends. You could get released in 2-3 days. You never talk to these people again. You're in there to do your job. And I feel like these guys coming in now, you know, they have OTAs to kind of, you know, settle their nerves and kind of transition themselves from college to the pro level. I didn't have that when I came in because I came in the lockout year. So it was nothing. And then next thing you know, the lockout ended. Then I was going against, you know, one of the best offensive lines in the league, you know, probably 3 days after, you know, signing a deal with the team. So I feel like it's a mindset, especially to be an undrafted guy.
Ian Williams here on 95.7 The Game. So Nick Bosa, obviously the number two overall pick. There has been huge investment in this defensive line. What do they have to do early? If this is going to turn into a ferocious group that terrorizes the league, like John Lynch said he wishes they become, what do they need to do early in training camp to set up a season like that?
They're going to need to produce early in training camp. They need to build their confidence. Okay, on paper, we know what you guys can do. You're all first-round draft picks. You're all really studly, really good players. DJ Jones, Julian Taylor, there's a lot of young guys. There's a lot of mix in this room. But you have a lot of fanfare. It's really top-heavy. So if those five main guys can go out there and set tempo each day in practice and really add to that competitive nature of what needs to be, you know, run, that practice needs to be run by the D-line, it's going to build their confidence. I feel like they know they can play. They just need to put it on film so they can see it and they can believe it even more.
Is there a time during training camp where you can say, we've got this, you know, we are going to be good, or do you need to play real games? And how many games do you need to play before you get that sense?
I feel like you can get that feel really quick in training camp before you even play against anybody else. Just the tempo and the speed and just the how everything is so crisp. You can always tell that as a coach or a veteran player. I'm sure like Richard Sherman and a couple other veterans, they'll see that on defense. But, all right, yeah, we got something. This reminds me about Seattle and Bobby Wagner and those guys on the D-line. Chris Averill and those guys. It kind of reminds me of that. So I feel like there's definitely going to be a certain, you know, time in practice where those guys, they're going to see it. You know, these coaches, they're going to like, wow, okay, all right, we got something here. Let's take that and run with it. But I definitely feel like there's going to be a time.
Ian Williams here, 95.7 The Game. We're going to have him on all season long as our Niners analyst. Used to play down there, obviously. And look, you know how important coaching is. Having a consistent voice is a rare thing. 2-3 years in the NFL. I mean, my God, would we have Alex Smith had 7 offensive coordinators in like his first 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it was. It was ridiculous how quickly it can turn over. Whether or not anyone who is a fan of the team believes in Robert Saleh being the right defensive coordinator, he is a consistent voice. How important is it to have a consistent voice as you're trying to build a culture?
I mean, you need to, especially with the way the team is built right now with a lot of young guys. You need some consistency to kind of build through things. You don't want to have a young guy. You don't want Fred Warner out there, you know, thinking, oh, well, in 2018, I was taught this. I remember this calling in to be the heat of a moment in the fourth quarter of a game, and then now in 2019 he's having a different call from a defensive coordinator or coach, and he's getting mixed up, and now he messes up the call, and now he's called a touchdown or whatever for the offense. So, you know, little things like that, it doesn't help these guys to be able to progress in their career. They need some consistency. A lot of the great players have been blessed with having a coach, either a position or a head coach who's been there for multiple years to kind of just have that game plan, have that consistency in what the play calls are going to be.
How much time does, let's say, pick any rookie you want. If you want to say Bosa, fine. If, you know, you could say Quan Alexander, fine. Well, whoever. How long should it take them to know everything they need to know about the season? Should they have it down before the first game is played? Should they already have it down now? Do they need to play some regular season games before they should feel comfortable that they know what they're doing?
I feel like they'll get it pretty quick. It shouldn't take any long. I feel like this coaching crew, they're doing a good job, and I'm excited for training camp to start. So, you know, I can actually get out there to start to really see, because LTAs with guys running around in shorts, it's really hard to see, you know, who's about it and who's not. So once the pads come on, I think probably Monday they'll probably come on. So I feel like there'll be more to really witness, you know, in practices once that really starts to pop off.
When did you go from liking training camp to hating it to liking it again?
I feel like your rookie year, your early years, you hate it because you're getting so many reps, or you're not getting so many reps. It can go either way. But in my case, you know, I was blessed to have a lot of reps. So I hated it that I was like, you know, wow, I was getting first, second team, third team reps. But at the end of the day, I was tired, but it helped me in my career. I feel like as an older guy, you know, having to be in a hotel and stuff like that, like I'm a vet. I'm not going to make any young guy mistakes and do this and do that or skip curfew. I don't need to be in the hotel. You know, it's uncomfortable. So it kind of varies, you know, with age difference. But for the most part, you know, guys are only in there for about 2.5 weeks. And then, you know, you can kind of build a great camaraderie in the hotel, you know, when guys have their off days or in between, you know, practices for naps and stuff like that. So it can, like I said, yeah, it varies.
Who was the first guy to really take you under his wing and invest his personal time in making you better? Because I would imagine that you want to make your teammates better, but at the same time, if you make that guy a lot better, they could come and get your job. So there's kind of a delicate balance going on there. Who was generous with their time and their tutelage early in your career?
Very true, very true. You know, guys are usually, you know, I'm not going to help out the next guy who's going to try to take my spot. But I feel like when I was blessed to come into a situation where we had a lot of guys who were already secure in their job, you know, Ricky Jean, Justin, Ray, you know, a lot of those guys, Isaac, they were pretty secure. So they knew, like, all right, this little young kid coming in here, he's not going to take my job. So I'm not really too worried about it. So, you know what, I'm going to help the kid. You know, I want to see him succeed and stuff like that.
That's cool.
It was really cool. Yeah, so I couldn't pick out one guy who was kind of like my mentor. I feel like the whole D line that year when I came in, me and DeMarcus Dallas came in. That whole D line was kind of like our mentors for the time being when they were there with us.
Let's wrap up with this then, Solomon Thomas. We know where he was drafted. We know that he was a disappointing rookie season, and we know that he had a personal tragedy, which would have to affect anyone over the course of a very, very long time. Like anyone with a compassionate heart has to feel like last year was a mulligan year for him. It is year three, though. It is show it, flash on film, look good. What are you betting on Solomon Thomas to figure this out this year? Do you think that this is going to happen for him?
I think it's going to happen. Have you seen him, some of his social media posts of him with working out with Aaron Donald, how he's looking?
He looks great.
Yes, he looks phenomenal. And I feel like he's going to come into it. I feel like everything he's kind of done this offseason was kind of to take that weight off his shoulders. He had a lot of weight on his shoulders during the season last year, obviously, of what was going on, which you just mentioned. Now he's been able to deal with it mentally and not have the pressure of having to get ready for a Sunday game. So I feel like having that weight off his shoulders has allowed him to grow physically and mentally. So I think all that is going to show during the season, especially during training camp. I feel like he's really going to really hit that curve, that turn that guys usually hit, going into year three. And he's had plenty of play time. It's not like he's going into year three without any play time. He's going into year three with a lot of play time and very decent play, what I think.
A lot of reps, yeah. I really hope he makes those reps count this year. He has done quite a bit to, reach the place he needs to be focused again. He's done a lot of suicide prevention. I've seen him do awareness marches in his sister's name in just the suicide prevention landscape. So hopefully he's in a really good place and can produce for the 49ers this season. The NFL demands he does. Ian, thank you very much, man. We'll be able to meet the demands of covering with you. We're better with you, man. Thank you so much.
Fellas, man, I'll talk to y'all later. Thanks for having me on.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.